to having fun.
Hey, how's it going out there?
Welcome.
It's another Tuesday. We're sitting here being the best that we possibly can be. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent. We have an excellent guest in studio today, Matt Rawlson.
Hey, welcome. How's it going, man?
Excellent.
Excellent. I like it, man. It's the first time you're on here.
Mm-hmm. First time on the Carolyn and Joe Show.
And also, you have your own podcast. You have your own stuff. Let's get that out of the way. Where else can we find you?
I co-host a podcast called Slabbed, the podcast without fear.
Nice.
And it's tenuously about comics, but. I have a terrible habit of never staying on one subject for long enough to call it a subject. So
we usually have that problem just as perfectly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's sort of tough when you have your own podcast, when it's sort of like,
we can only talk about this one thing.
Yeah, when you label it, it's tough. When it's like, we're just going to talk about comics. But after a while, you're like, but there's more to the world than comics.
That's what it goes. You never know where it's going to end. I mean, we ended on some wild out there stuff. When we started on, like, man, did you read Daredevil? And then we're, like, talking about, like, you know, the world religions and how they... So.
Daredevil to the world religions.
It does.
Daredevil and religion.
It does. That's probably not the best example, because we have some pretty... we don't really do transition material.
But that's where the key is how do you get from point A to point C, and what does that point B end up being, you know what I mean?
Generally through point J, then through point Z, and back through point E.
And that's the genius of, like, podcasts, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's really cool, though. Thanks for being on the show. And, I hope you have a good time. It's always interesting to have people on the podcast who have their own podcast as well, because it's almost like... I almost feel like it's... I don't know. For me, it felt like there wasn't a lot of podcasts, like, when the Carolyn Joe started... We didn't even call this, like, a podcast.
It was called a radio show.
Yeah, we technically called it a radio show.
I still like calling it a radio show, actually, because, like, really, what is a podcast?
It's on-demand radio.
Exactly.
But it's, like, weird to use the word pod.
Yeah.
Like, it's all based off the iPod, like an Apple. It's like an Apple name.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's false advertising, because I listen to iPods on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm not against the word iPod, I'm not even against Apple, but it's just like... I mean, I use a Mac myself. I use iMac. So, but it's just this, I don't know, the pod. Like, what is a pod? It's a podcast.
Speaking of...
It's like, Apple trying to brand the world.
Yeah. But hey, it's a radio show, you guys.
It's Carolyn's news music. What's the news, Carolyn?
Oh my gosh, we're in April now. Can you believe that? It's already one third of the year gone. Can't have it back. Can't have it back, so that's why you gotta live every day. So... Joe and I will be at Awesome Con on April 20th and 21st. It's a two-day show in D.C. at the Convention Center. First time that I think it's ever been done before to have a comic convention in the actual District of Columbia. And there's so many awesome guests, including Xander from Buffy.
We're just going to call him Xander?
Yeah.
I like that. Are you a fan of Buffy? Do you know Xander?
I do.
Matt?
I do.
He's going to be there, man.
That is very cool.
To me, that's almost like the most high-profile guest. It's tough. You have Xander, You have the second black guy from The Walking Dead, which I forget this since I haven't watched the new season, but
well,
I've seen
you don't know
of
his name, so
I think
just
that's
call
his actual
black guy too.
Yeah.
Black guy too.
Yeah.
Sort of like in Star Trek, it's like red shirt number 3.
Red shirt number 3. And then there's the black guy from Ghostbusters.
There's
going to be there.
That's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson's going to be there.
Okay, he has a real name.
He does have a real name.
And then there is the black guy from Mad TV.
The black guy from Mad TV.
Man.
Phil Lamar. He has a name too.
Yeah.
But I like how really all the guests are black except for that one guy that does the voice. He's another voice actor.
Yeah, the guy plays
the guy
Fry.
That's white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably wanted to get some equal opportunity in there. That white guy, number 3.
What is the name of that voice actor?
Fry? I guess I'm just going to call him Fry or Ren and Stimpy or Doug. I'm gonna call
Doug.
Since we're calling Xander by his actual character name.
You guys,
name.
Doug is going to be there. Yeah. You have to realize how awesome this is. I feel like I need to order, because I've always mentally been wanting to order Doug on DVD, but I just never got around it.
I believe that's Billy West.
Yes, it is.
Billy West.
Billy West, he has a name, folks. Billy West will be there. And, I've always wanted to, own Doug, but I've never really, I don't know, I just never saw it on sale or something. I never, it's got to be on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Doug, so I feel like now it's the time that I should order it so I can get it in time for April 20th and 21st. Have it at Awesome Con and have him sign it. That'd be amazing.
That is very cool.
There's always that thing of, since he plays a cartoon character, that you can bring the cartoon character, your illustration of the cartoon character to him.
I could.
Oh my gosh, all of them.
So amazing. And also, Phil Lamar did the voice of, now my brain's dying, but Wilt. Yes, Wilt from Foster's Home.
There you go.
Imaginary Friends.
Yeah.
That little basketball tall dude.
The little basketball tall dude.
With half an arm. Man, that guy rules.
Not only that, but he was with Pee Wee Herman, too.
Yeah.
Right on.
He was Cowboy Curtis. Man, Phil Lamar is awesome. These are some awesome guests at Awesome Con.
Yeah, Awesome Con seems pretty stacked.
Yeah. You know? And there
might be a Carolyn and Joe show recording there.
And then also in May 4th, we can officially say it's Free Comic Book Day because every first Saturday in May is Free Comic Book Day, and this year it's May 4th.
Yes.
And all three of us here that are appearing on this show will be making an appearance that day.
Nice.
Matt, where will you be?
I will be at Phantom Comics. Is that the proper time? Yeah, Phantom Comics in DC.
You're gonna be at that one. That's gonna be a good one, man. Because that one has a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
You're gonna get out of towners in there.
Nice. Yeah, because that's over by.
That's in Union Station.
Union Station.
Yeah,
it's in Union.
It's in the malls and shops, so people that need to burn time between their train rides and such.
Nice.
They can stop by. So that'll be awesome, and it's a Saturday, so most folks hopefully won't be working. They can get out of their place and actually see real people.
I mean, it's good to know. Yeah. I mean, I know that, when I just talk to civilians that are not even into comics, they find out about Free Comic Book Day. They're like, "Oh, I need to go. Where's my nearest comic store?"
Everyone gets some free books. And then also, Joe and I will be at Laughing Ogre Comics in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah,
I was just there on the way.
Under here, yes.
I know. That's my shop. That's my shop. And from now on, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to steal that anybody from on Slab, anybody that doesn't read comics, is not into comics, I'm now going to refer to as civilians.
Because they are civilians. I like that reference because I pretty much use the word civilians for people who are just not in the know.
Or they're just civilians,
yeah.
Well, actually, the
people caught in the crossfire.
It's funny that the government uses that word for people that aren't military. Mm.
It's
civilians.
Much better than what they did in ancient Greek, and they just called them idiots.
Yeah, because so. civilians, their civilians are there, but they, I don't know, they just sort of exist and just carry on.
Yeah.
While everyone else, in the most meanest term, everyone else does something.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? I don't know.
They're all the people in the background that are just having the conversations with each other, going orange, orange, rhubarb, banana, banana, rhubarb,
yeah,
orange, orange, rhubarb.
Exactly. Just filling in the spots, I hope people don't take offense to it, but I love saying it because that's the only way to be like, the civilians back there or the bogeys or something like that.
And we also have, I guess, so since we cover those two locations of Phantom Comics and Laughing Ogre Comics for Free Comic Book Day, there's, let me count on my fingers, 7 other locations to make a total of 9 locations that Magic Bullet contributors are going to be at. So you can find that information at magicbulletcomics.com.
So pretty much Magic Bullet on Free Comic Book Day are just dominant
just
in
taking
the DMV
over.
Area.
Just mm-hmm. taking over, man.
That's I don't even know how many stores are left.
There's a few left that we didn't cover, but I still feel like our coverage is like pretty phenomenal.
That's gonna be
nine
awesome.
Stores spread
that
out.
That is pretty good.
Most people have like two people at each store. A couple people are just a single person, and then there's a few that have like three. Or maybe one or two that have three. Either way, there's like multiple people. So that means nine, like doubled, is like 18 or so people. So that means we have like almost around 20 people, like covering the region.
I think it's officially canvassing.
So Matt, what do you think about Free Comic Book Day in general? Do you think it's like a really, like when you first heard that this was going to happen, not just the signing, but like, oh, it's a Free Comic Book Day. Do you think it's good? Is it bad for the industry? What do you think?
You mean like back when it first started?
Yeah, when it first started.
Oh, I thought it was very cool. I mean, it's a way. I mean, now it's sort of like a.
It's like a holiday.
Oh, it's like a holiday. I mean,
it's like Christmas.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's like that's the one thing I never really got about the going to be a civilians. It's like, man, it's like, what do you do with your Wednesday? I'm like, my Wednesday, like I have a holiday like every Wednesday.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like I go to my shop and get my comics. It's like that's awesome. But I told you that I do tangents. What the hell was I talking about?
Because you're talking about it is a holiday.
Yeah. The back when it was just sort of like we need to get some people in here. Let's give stuff for free.
Yeah.
Now it's really turned into a thing where companies, especially smaller companies, can sort of launch books before they get their number ones out.
Yeah.
And get. Even people, because they know that the people that go to the shops are going to go to Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, they are packed. The stores are packed full of people, whether they're regulars or not. But that's because I know that we interviewed David Hitchcock, who is the CEO of Ape Entertainment.
Yeah,
and he told us that they're launching their Sesame Street line of comics at Free Comic Book Day. And that blew my mind. So I'm like, there's never been a Sesame Street comic? I'm like, what the hell?
I mean, it seems like a thing that should happen.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, so that's basically a lot of, and I think it's great. I think Free Comic Book Day is awesome.
I mean, I specifically remember like on Free Comic Book Day, pretty much that almost changed the outlook of the comics I buy now. Because I think on the first Free Comic Book Day, the first thing I picked up or the one book that like stood out that I got was the like Stray Bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Was David Stray Robin. Bullets number two. Yeah. And on the back it had Matrix. And like from that point on, like my comic book buying changed.
Yeah, right on.
When did Free Comic Book Day start?
I don't know. Was it? It feels like if I got that, because I was working at the comic book store at that time, so that might have been like 2001 or 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Was
yeah,
when
it's
I
been around for a while.
Yeah, and now to build up that's almost like 10 years. Is it the 10 year anniversary now?
I can do some research.
That would be actually pretty amazing because then we can almost cross promote like the 10th anniversary of Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah,
is like Magic Bullet is taking over. That'd be actually a really awesome thing to check out. But yeah, that's like now it really is sort of like whenever I'm there, it's like packed.
Oh yeah, you know? It's balls to the wall there, but one thing that I've seen that has changed is the original content that they're putting out. I mean, like they're doing these, sampler books that I know like Archaea does a lot that those are stories that have never been published before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I mean, last year I picked up, they actually had a hardcover. Archaea put one out that was
Mouse Guard?
That had the Mouse Guard story, and it was a brand new Mouse Guard story. And,
oh, I remember that. I do remember that.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, that must have. I mean, they got to front a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Put out a free hardcover sampler like that, but they were wanting to get people's attention, so they got mine.
I mean,
I already got the book, so
it started my new curve in comic books. It didn't start like the me buying comic books, but it's like that's the place where you can start to check out new stuff that you never saw before.
I do think that I would like to see more independent companies really take part in it, because you do see like a lot of the, or at least have the general attitude toward Free Comic Book Day, is you see like a lot of the they have just the reprints, like the Marvel reprints.
Yeah.
And the DC reprints, and they have like this over here, and like the higher echelon sort of independent publishers, like, you know, like Image and Archaea and IDW and them. But I think that would be a perfect place to get interest in comics that don't normally get in front of people.
Because that's, you know, it's where everyone, it's pretty much where everyone's going to be.
Oh, there's like, it's a train out the door, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the generally, I know at Laughing Ogre, every year that I'm going there, and because I've been going there for like 7-8 years now, and for some reason they still have the Phoenix, so I know.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of hard to give people directions to it. But yeah, it's and people don't like just train in, pick up their free comics and then leave. I mean, they're back in the store. You know,
it's a family affair.
They're buying stuff, and it's creators are there. I mean, like this year, like Magic Bullet folks are going to be there, but that's likely, that's, you know, there's going to be other people signing stuff as well.
So that's looking cool. So what was the, did you find any news, Carolyn?
I found out, according to their site on the FAQs, 2002 was the first year. So you guys were close. In the same vicinity.
So last year was a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah. Was it? I guess so.
So close. So close, but still, we can say it's just important.
Yeah.
The new era.
The new decade.
starting the new motions.
Yeah.
So have you ever worked at a comic book store?
I have never worked at a comic book store.
See, I've worked two jobs, or two retail jobs. One was a music store, and one was a comic book store. And I gotta say, like, you know, you see, like, a lot of different people at comic book stores, but, like, talking about Free Comic Book Day, that's the one thing that... Now when you see families in there, I used to not see, like, families in there. And it was cool or interesting, because last time I think Carol and I were in a comic book store, or 2 weeks ago, I forget what there was, like, a guy, right? And it was, like, his son. But, like, the way that he was talking to his son about, like, no, don't touch the books. Like, there's that, you know, now there is sort of, like, oh, they're, like, pieces of art. Remember that, Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, like, a really interesting... Where you see that sort of, like, just in this modern day, you do see now comics are sort of like an art,
yeah.
But also you still have the kids that are, like, going to attack comics. So I hope to see that, like, on Free Comic Book Day. I want to see everyone just sort of, like, rampage through things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd love to see, like, people just, like, rolling them up and just shoving them. And so, yeah, I mean, I saw a similar thing. One day I was in there, and this guy had his son in there. His son was probably 9, 10 years old. I mean, like, prime, like, comic book.
Yeah.
And I think his dad was obviously buying his stash of stuff, and the son was interested, and, you know, he was asking questions. Dad was like blowing him off. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, what was he saying? He's like, no, don't touch Spider-Man. Well, Sensational,
like,
Spider-Man.
Well, essentially, it's just like, it's like, nah, it's like, okay, yeah, that's good. We're leaving in a second. It's like he didn't want to leave. He wanted to look at the comics.
I do see that a lot. There's a lot of, like. You know, I do want to make it sound as vulgar as possible. There's a lot of people blowing each other off in comic book stores, and that's literally how it is. It's either you have, like,
that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, but that's how I feel like it is, because you have, like, the little kids getting blown off by their parents, then you have, like, the girls being blown off by their boyfriends or something like that. It's like, it's still like this comic book store is still like this weird world.
So many times at, like, conventions, I'll see a couple. And the guy will usually be leading, you know, maybe holding on to his girlfriend's hand or something.
Yeah.
But the girl's always, like, second in line. But then I'll see her stop and, like, usually look at our stuff, because I guess it kind of has, like, a more welcoming female vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, like, the boyfriend or husband just, like, basically pulls her along. So she doesn't have, like, the time. But she could, I mean, honestly, she could easily be like, hey, I want to look at this.
Yeah.
But usually they don't speak up, I guess, so they just keep going, and I'm like, okay.
It's like Tarzan leading Jane through the jungle.
Yeah.
It happens, but, you know.
I think that's changing. I've seen a lot, and I think with...
Do you think, like, because of nerd culture, is that what you want to call it, is coming to the forefront?
Well, I mean, yeah, nerd culture, too, and it's like, and I've said that on Slab a number of times, is the prime definition of a nerd is just somebody that's really into what's going to be popular 10 years from now.
Is that, yeah, that's a pretty good definition of that. But then you have the fake girl nerd culture at the same time. Do you see that?
You do, but I mean, honestly, it's like...
I really don't even care about it very much, because it's like, well, even if they're being fake about it, at least they, like, at least show interest in it.
Yeah.
They bought a ticket. Yeah, because, I mean,
that's all you can get.
Tony Harris went off on that.
What do you say?
On his Facebook, he just went, just, you know, he just got vicious against the, like, the fake, you know, con girl, like, the cosplay type people. And how they're just all, you know, they're... you know, disingenuous and all kinds of four-letter words.
What was his purpose, though? Was he saying he doesn't want them to be there?
Yeah, essentially. He thinks that they're, you know, phony and they, like, give, like, the wrong vibe.
But how
the
can
show.
You really, like, tell who is who and if there was, like, a test or something? Because, honestly, if there was some type of test, I swear I would fail it.
Because that's usually... That's
like, then they'd be like, you're not in the club.
That's usually the toughest thing, man. That's usually the toughest thing is to measure up to anyone else's sort of ideal of, like... I mean, how much, you know, how much, because, like, I guess, like, because I'm a massive wrestling fan, but I probably haven't seen every single Japanese match that was ever had.
How dare you?
You know what I mean? And someone would be like, well, you haven't seen Kurosawa against Tanaka in 1943. I'm like, well, it's like, all right, sorry, man.
You're right, I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that, too, and I think there's this growing pains going on with the, like, the general nerd culture and stuff like that, and within comics as well, where it's expanding into just general popular culture,
yeah.
But you still have these people that want to have that, you know, it's to fit in their pocket.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's a situation where it's kind of hard to nail down because a lot of these, the guys that are really into it, they're really into, like, the Avengers, and they're going in to, you know, see the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they kind of have this smug look. It's like, yeah, I know. I've been into this for, like,
20 years, yeah.
You know, it's like, I know all this stuff. This is great stuff. I mean, it's like, I mean, I was that guy. I mean, I've been into it.
And they've earned that. They've earned that.
And
you know?
Which I think is fine, but it's just like, you know, it's invite people in. And because I was at SPX one year, and they were doing this round robin thing on comics criticism, which, you know, made me want to bash my head against the wall because they were all incredibly just pleased with themselves.
Well, what's an example of that? They're just like, you know, I don't know. It's because I feel like to be a critic at the same time, it's like, you know, I guess you just have to criticize.
Well, what it is, it was a panel with, I'm blanking on his first name. His last name is Walk. He wrote... how to read graphic novels, I believe.
Okay.
And
How
to read graphic novels, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, you just read them.
I didn't know there's a specific way that you had to find out.
Left to right?
Honestly, I'll get to that in a second. And Gary Groth, who I... So, not a fan. And, you know, they were just all kind of... you know, very, very full of themselves and stuff like that. And they were going off, like, and they were complimenting each other's pieces that they got published in the Comics Journal and how Gary Groth put Alan Moore in his place. I'm like, I don't think Alan Moore really gives a damn what you think his place should be.
Yeah.
He's too busy over in, you know, Northampton, you know, puffing away. So
he's too busy making magic.
He's too busy making magic and giving Grant Morrison crap. But
see, that's okay if it's Alan Moore and Grant Morrison. This is like just like, you know, two big ups battling each other. That's fine.
Oh, that's like Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because
they've already worked for over 30 years in the business anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah. So but one of the things that was said was this downplay of the idea of like team comics. It's like everybody's like team comics.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I kind of, you know, took back. It's like, you know, I kind of get what they're saying about that. That it wants to, like, you know, it's a medium that should be. No one says like team film.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like we're into painting, so we're all into painting. You know, it's like everybody loves Jackson Pollock if they like, you know, JMW Turner. I'm like, no, but at the same time, I was just like, you know, I kind of like that. Community, that sense of community that's absent a lot in comics because everybody is so angry at each other.
They're always so angry. It feels like, I mean, I'm angry a lot of times, but it feels like just because someone has a voice that they have to be mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's and there is really nothing quite like the the pit, you know, that comics creators have to be put through with the internet.
Oh man, specifically when you have so much outlet today for people just to bash you.
Yeah, yeah, and especially anonymously.
Yeah, or anon or whatever.
I'm like, if I'm going to give you my opinion, you're going to, you know, I'm going to give you my name. And I say, here's my email address. You know, you want my, you know.
They don't, not have like a modern day letters column anymore in books?
They do.
But it's not as long anymore. It's not like it devoted depends. Page count.
It depends. It's like Saga from Image has a pretty long one. It depends on the creator. I mean, if they're like really into the letters page thing. Mm-hmm. I know Jeff Smith always, he likes the letter page because he likes the feedback. And and I know that Joe Casey just brought out a book through Image called Sex, which is honestly kind of boring. But,
you know, I had that in my hand and I was thinking about it and I was thinking about buying it and I was like,
just because of the title?
Yeah, because I was like, this, because, you know, I'm like, wow, crossed, I had Caligula in my hand. I was like, let's add sex to it. But then for some reason, I was just like, I don't know.
It's always funny shopping with Joe very because obvious. Joe's books are all like boarded up, bagged up.
Yeah.
And my books
have like the black on the cover.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, and I write Kid Roxy and all ages book. This is my inspiration.
Not for children.
And, like, I buy like My Little Pony.
But I think
that's a very good book.
I think we need that sort of like that mixing pot of like, oh, we read from one end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum and then the superhero world.
There should be the spectrum.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Everybody, there's this polarizing attitude toward what should be in comics now. It's like it's like a pendulum swinging. It's like it's on this side, and everybody thinks that comics should be adult and art. And,
yeah,
but then it swings back. It's like, no, kid, you know, they should be fun and bring kids in. I'm like, why? I mean,
there's space for everyone.
It's like you're all right.
It's a medium. I mean, like, it's not. And that's like, you know, what Neil Gaiman said about comics. And like, say, it's like, well, comics aren't necessarily good or bad. It's it's a medium. They're as good as the artist puts into it.
Yeah, and exactly.
So, I mean, it's a medium for expression, and it should range as far as the imagination can go.
The real challenge I get is a lot of times when I talk to civilians and they look at comic books, they just think of it as just superheroes.
Oh yeah, what generally they mean when they say I don't like comics. I just like, no, what you mean is you don't like superheroes.
Yeah, you don't like people in tights. Because also, because a lot of times when I'm working in the my other job, like in the film business, they were always like, "Oh, you like oh, this is just like a like you know you like this movie. It's like comic books, and then it's like a superhero thing." I'm like, "Well, it doesn't mean I'm gonna like it." You know what I mean? It's like yeah, it's you know, comic books are not just superheroes and stuff like that. No, but
not even remotely.
So I gotta tell them. I gotta sort of remind them sometimes. It's like, oh, that's a superhero genre is what it is.
So back to this panel at SPX, I want to know like what
criticizing comics,
how to read graphic
novels.
Oh yeah, I want to know like, is there an approach like how I should read graphic novels? Or?
Well, I mean, I think that there was the book that
oh, it's a book.
It's a book called is it How to Read Graphic Novels or How to Read Comic Books?
I believe graphic novels.
Be graphic novels.
This was
graphic novels.
This was graphic novels. Graphic novels. Which is my favorite definition.
You got to do the hand motion. For people at home, you got to see it's the little, what is it, like the
graphic
pinch?
Novels.
The pinch push.
It's like a European.
Yeah, the graphic novel.
Yeah. Personally, my favorite graphic novel was Naked Lunch, but it was, that's from like Chris Ware. It's like, what's a graphic novel? And it's like the content.
Yeah.
It's like Lady Chatterley's Lover. You know, it's like, that's a graphic novel. But it's it's like how to read graphic novels, and they would accentuate the anybody that creates comics from and lives in France, and they would use that opportunity to enunciate.
Do you have to, like, in order to read a graphic novel, you have to be in front of a fireplace?
You do, and you also have to be smoking a pipe.
And it's a masterpiece theater graphic novel.
And that's a different kind of pipe than you need for a Grant Morrison comic. But,
yeah. I've been reading a lot of Grant Morrison.
I am constantly reading Grant Morrison. In fact, I just finished his
the Action Comics?
Flexman.
Oh, Flexmetallo.
Oh, man, that was awesome. That was just straight up cool. And That gives, I mean, that's almost like an autobiography of Grant Morrison. It really is. But anyway, what the hell was the question?
I like Grant Morrison a whole lot, man.
I do.
Like, I met him at New York Comic Con, and I just had no idea what I was going to say to him.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, when you're in line and there's like 100 or over 100 people in front of you, you're like, he must get the millions of questions about every piece of his life.
He does have a very thick brogue, though.
So
So you might not have understood his answers, even if you got him.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though. What is he? He's Scottish, right?
Scottish, yes. He's pretty. But anyway, back to your question.
How to read?
Like I said, I never stand.
A graphic novel.
I've actually, when I was in college, I ran into that problem a lot when people would just say, "I don't know how to read comics." I'm like,
"What?"
I'm like, "Seriously, that's something you might want to consult your physician about."
Yeah, you should question your educational system at that point.
Yeah, sir. And these were the professors, because, you know, I was like, I battled throughout the entire 4 years to get comics, you know, taken seriously. And
I went
to school with Danielle Corsetto, who does Girls with Slingshots. And
You both like in it to be like, "You guys got to read comics"?
No, we actually didn't like each other.
Well, that's the best friendship.
And actually, I won't even say that. She was actually really cool, and I was kind of the butthole. it really was that. I'm going to be honest about you, because she was dating my friend, and it was just one of those situations, you know, where it's like,
was she like stealing all of your time with your friend, and you were like, "Wait, that's my friend," and that type of situation?
And that's the way I perceived it, but really not at all. I mean, she was just. She was honestly just an innocent bystander. I mean, I was just, you know.
No, but it's like, you probably mentally, like, wanted to spend time with your friend.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She was, like, in the way,
oh,
you
she
know?
Was, yeah, she
like,
was,
that
she
type
was
of thing.
That's always the way.
Oddly enough.
It's actually her birthday today, too.
Oh, yeah. Oddly enough, I'm better friends with her now than I was with the guy she was dating.
And that's the way it was planned.
Yeah, you know, all the time. but yeah, we would be... I mean, I don't know what kind of experience she had through... going through this school, because, I mean, she actually teaches illustration there now, but it was hard, you know. Like, I wanted to present like the pages of comics as artwork.
What would you use as like examples of like this is where it's at?
Wait, this is high school, right?
College.
Okay, college.
Yeah, this was college. And
which college is this?
Shepherd University. Okay. Yeah. Generally, you know. You go for the guys that have a crossover appeal, like Dave McKean and Bill Sienkiewicz, and the guys whose pages, you know, look like they sort of have that fine art sort of like polish to them, and that's generally how I got them to. It's like, oh, okay, we didn't know about this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh,
they're like,
okay.
They're like, "This looks real. This looks like art.
It's like, this is great stuff." It's like, okay, now this is all the crap that I like, you know. It's like, but no, it was, and I heard that a lot about. It's like, how do you read comics? I'm like, I don't know how to answer that question, and I think Scott McCloud tried to in the understanding comics, but unfortunately with the book of Understanding Comics, it was If you honestly don't understand how to read a comic book, it's probably not the best thing to present it as a comic book.
Yeah.
So, but maybe I'm not. I mean, I thought it was very well organized, but I know how to read a comic book. So.
See, there's sort of that danger I really enjoyed about comic books, because growing up for me reading comic books, I remember, I think maybe it might have been like fifth or sixth grade, where you're supposed to like... do like a book presentation something like that, and bring in books and share it to your class. And for me, I chose to bring in comic books, and I pitched that to my teacher, and she was like, "I guess."
What grade?
This was like sixth or fifth grade.
Okay.
You know, and it was like it was that challenge of like, okay, this is, you're gonna have to really pitch it, you know. And I remember at that time, it's like people were sort of, they couldn't take it. As if it was real or fake, you know what I mean? But I like that sort of feeling of like, this is like a new venture, like this
frontier.
Is, yeah, it's like, oh my god, someone's actually trying to bring this forward, you know?
Yeah, I know. We had to do like similar situation in eighth grade. We had to do like a book report, you know,
yeah,
a big book report. Well, me and actually my co-host for Slab.
Who is your co-host? Did you already say who your co-host was?
I didn't.
Should we?
No.
All right.
No credit.
Yeah. His name's Danny McCaslin, and that's his credential.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, if you don't know who you, I don't know.
If you don't know, yeah. you'll know sooner.
If you don't know his name, then you don't know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so we got up and we did this presentation on we're going to do the X-Men.
Oh, so you guys knew each other way back then.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I was like, let's do the X-Men. We didn't even tell the teacher we were doing the X-Men. So we get up there and I did a poster, put it up, and I mean, I started with Stan Lee sitting on the John thinking about something that, you know, I need to come up with something new. Man, I went from there to the issue that just came out, and I was in a zone. I didn't even see the glazed eyes. I was just like, man, this and this and this and this. I'm like, everybody in that.
Because you had passion for it.
Oh,
man.
Completely. And in hindsight, I'm realizing that I'm just basically everybody in that classroom was just hearing me say, I'm a huge nerd. I'm a huge nerd. I'm a really, really huge nerd.
I like X-Men.
when Professor Xavier was came up and then Nightcrawler ended Nightcrawler. But it's
this is a metaphor for civil rights movement.
Come and on. I was we brought all that in and everything, and it's that's the hook that we got. The teacher was like, yeah, it has this underlining, you know, civil rights kind of vibe to it. So okay, we did that, and I mean we had note cards and everything, and it was all tenuous because I mean it was all up here. I'm just like going off the cuff, like issue by issue by issue. I'm like, I brought it in like way back when. It's like any time that I could bring the comics in, and or anything that was not generally school based. Like, I think it was like 11th grade. We were studying Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, and they said it's like us, bring in something that has some kind of that can express the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, you know, people would do like, you know, little like posters or whatever.
Panoramas?
Like panoramas, yeah. Dioramas.
dioramas
with, you know, like little flying hat and everything. I brought in my boombox and just turned it all the way up and played Iron Maiden's Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. And the teacher was just like, I didn't even know that existed. Because they just sang the Coleridge's poem. And it's like, I'm like, I got an A.
Nice.
All I did was stand up there, and it's like almost like I got a that A was like the headhunter's fee for finding this buried treasure in the annals of metal. You know.
See, one thing I do like doing is introducing people to comic books.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't know, comic books feels American to me. it feels right.
It is.
You still got that you still got that connection too with youth, but also you can bring it up to like. And also, this is how we can take it serious.
You know, as much as we do, kind of, I guess, put down that term, like, graphic novel, I feel like it did solidify comic books in libraries.
I did.
Because even now, like, they have graphic novel section.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it was never titled that, if it was just comic books, I don't think that they would let that fly. And it's so silly, because it is comic books. But just that term changed everything.
And also, since we were just in the Library of Congress, and they have different, they put the graphic novels in the book section.
The book section.
And then the comic, the I guess the floppies.
The comics are in like periodicals.
Yeah. So it's like.
So they are separated there in that way. But at the same time, it is pretty interesting just to see them actually have like true respect at Library of Congress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's very cool. I mean, even in like the public libraries, you go and look for. Like Watchmen or Sin City, it's filed under M for Miller or M for Moore in the fiction section.
As well as it, I mean, what makes it any different, you know?
So there shouldn't be. Like, you shouldn't, like, where's your graphic novel section? It's like, there is no graphic novel section.
These are books.
It's like, you know, it's like, welcome to the future.
There's just fiction and nonfiction. That's the world, man.
Yeah, and it's...
I guess the closer that we get to just calling them straight-up books is, like, the full inclusion.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how they're not.
Some people still categorize, I guess. They're like, what? This has pictures in it? That's not a book.
This goes into the kids' section. It's just like the same with animation. Animation is like, animation could be for everyone.
Well, also,
but...
I mean, there's picture books that have no words.
Yeah.
So how do you categorize that? Is that a book? No, it's like, pictures.
Is it binded?
You know, like, it's binded, so it's a book, yeah, but...
It is a book. It's a... I mean, they are comic books, so it's... Another thing I always bring up with when people, like, say, it's like, oh, you're not reading a real book. You're reading, you know, a comic book. It's not a real book. I'm like, you know, it's like, seems real to me. I mean, like, freaking Matrix or something.
I always feel like a lot of people have to base it on, like, word count or thickness if it's a real book or not, too. Yeah. So it's like, no... You can't read Watchmen. Watchmen's not a real book. If I'm reading The Stand, The Stand is the real book. You know?
And what I always do whenever people like categorize it as some kind of like leveled sort of reading experience is, if you think about it, reading a comic, and I'm talking about a comic that's actually done in, that utilizes the medium that
yeah.
can that's it does something that can only be done as a comic.
Yeah.
It's actually more work to read a comic than it is to read a like a prose novel.
Yeah.
Because to read and understand a comic, and not like the Scott Lobdell kind where they have the picture and then in the caption he explains exactly what's going on in the picture. It's
yeah,
like they gave
like telling the story twice.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's. But if it's words and pictures working in tandem to tell a story, it's one of the only forms of reading that force you to use both sides of your brain at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And to bring that in, it's like, I want you to experience something to get the full effect of it. It's both a song and a scent. You know,
yeah.
It's like, so it actually is exercising more parts of the brain. And this is the ones that are done correctly. Because I'm sorry, I mean, there's a ton of crap out there.
I mean, and that's the same with everything, too.
With everything.
You know,
yeah, it's like, I mean...
Not everything can be, you know, just a genius work.
Oh, yeah, Murphy's Law is across the board, so...
So what are the comic books that you would give someone... I know this is generalizing because you might have to, like, know their personality better.
Yeah.
But if you had never really read a comic book in true value before...
Yeah.
Like, if you could pick, like, just a handful that you would suggest to people.
And this is, like mixed company?
Yeah, like, or just, you know, not like, no specific person in general, but just pick, like, 5 books that you would hand to, like, the average civilian.
But not like a child, right? Not like a...
You could do different, like, a top 5 for somebody that's younger age and a top, you know, 5 for...
So basically the must reads, is that what it is?
Yeah, the number one thing that I would hand anybody is Bone.
Bone is crucial, yeah.
Because
by Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith, he is just absolutely brilliant, and it's done in a way that it's truly an all ages book. I mean, you hear all ages and you think children. It's for children. It's like all ages means all ages.
Yeah, that
means,
I don't understand how poor people get that idea.
Yeah, that means that someone that's 8 and someone that's 58 can talk about something on the same level. And like Harry Potter. Harry Potter is an all ages book.
Which is, I feel like, more difficult to write, too.
Oh, it's incredibly difficult.
Because like the almost like the vocab and the thought process of everyone must be able to understand this.
And publishers have aneurysms over it because it has to fit into the boxes. This is like, it's like, what's your demographic? It's like 8 to 12. So basically, when a kid hits 12, he's going to think my stuff's crap.
I mean,
like, they're going to be like, this is too old. This is below me now.
Yeah, this
I'm 13.
I'm reading graphic novels.
Graphic novel.
I didn't really read comic books. No. Where's my pipe?
Did you ever feel like that when you were like 15 or something and you saw a book that said up to age 12 or something and you're like, oh, I'm reading a... Like, did you ever feel... Like you were like too mature or something.
Oh yeah, I usually found an elderly person and threw it at them. I was so angry. Actually, no, I never really had that because I don't remember
them having that scale back then. Or?
No, they didn't. They didn't have the scale. Basically, I remember. I do not remember what I was reading other than comics between when I was reading Dr. Seuss and when I read I think like in the third grade or. Second or third grade, I read Christine by Stephen King.
Anything by Stephen King is already out of bounds for a normal youth, you know?
That probably explains a lot of things, but it's the, but no, I don't, there was no, that idea of the, there's no YA, you know, he's like, this is young adult.
Yeah, YA is like a big deal
that's
now.
Like new, and it's huge too. It's like, that's a very competitive market.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if it's not like a sparkly wizard vampire, You know, it's like it's trying to, you know, survive in a battle royale.
Yeah,
it's not flying, but it's.
I have not seen or read that, so I'm just assuming that's what happens at the end of whatever at the end of any vampire.
Oh yeah, all Twilight. Yeah,
any like, one of those. Yeah, yeah, it ends with the battle royale of just animals and vampires fighting.
It does. It's like you don't read Twilight. You experience it. You experience it.
What about the Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, that's definitely from the 8 to 12 territory.
That is. I think that they were trying to get that into the
comic book form.
Second to third grade. But.
Someone needs to translate that graphic novel translation of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Have you heard Gilbert Godfrey read it?
Gilbert Godfrey? No,
yeah, I haven't. He was like reading it on like one of the websites online.
That is
obviously
awesome.
It was online, but it was
I think
like,
I heard about that, but I never.
It's like on Funny or Die or something like that. Yeah. But it's pretty amazing. But yeah, like isn't 50 Shades of Grey, is that just like a romance, or is there vampires involved?
No, it's I think it's called mommy porn.
But is it vampires?
No.
Oh, it's okay. Not.
I think what it is, it started out as a fan fiction of Twilight.
Oh.
And I guess naughty fan fiction, but it was
isn't most fan fiction naughty?
Generally. Yeah.
It's kind of creepy though.
Yeah, it's kind of a
that's what they want to see though, I mean, man. That's what they want.
Whatever loves. Floats your boat.
Yeah.
But
but it's you know, I mean, whatever gets you to crack open a book. You can't really, there's not really room to pick and choose with people. I mean, you can't go up and say, it's like you engage with Twilight.
I feel like
here's the, I think that Brothers Karamazov.
That might be one of the books that like brought people in. You know, there's always, everyone has their entry drug into like that medium. Like I bet Twilight brought so many people to even conventions, which opened, you know, just like as Free Comic Book Day would bring in more.
So that's why we can't really down Twilight.
Oh, we can down Twilight all day long.
I mean, I don't know. I have not like read it or seen it.
I saw the first movie.
I have.
You did?
Yeah.
I've attempted to read the first book twice, and I stopped at the exact same part both times because she is the only writer that actually angers me.
Really?
Like, about
like
how,
you're like, I'm viciously mad.
I am, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, snap into a But it's just so, she takes pages to write like what can be expressed in a sentence.
Yeah, so there's no finesse to it.
She's none.
She's bloated.
But I haven't read it, but it kind of is good that she squeezes in every little point that she could possibly make.
Well, it's not even like every little point, it's just like
every detail?
It's almost like you have a globe and you need to see Africa, Australia, and United States in that paragraph. I'm like, no, take us there. You know, it's like we don't need to see. I don't need to know what every blade of grass is thinking. You know.
Is that how it's written? Because I've not read any of the Twilight books. I just know that.
God-awful.
Yeah, I remember, that's what I remember.
That's all
hearing.
I've heard about it. So that's why I'm kind of like, what is this fascination with it?
Well, basically, I think
is it just hot guys, or
there,
what's the deal?
I think there's a an element, and this is going to sound like completely pompous.
It's fine. That's okay.
But I think there are people that. There are different levels of sensitivity toward the quality of the writing.
Yeah.
Like, people can read a book, and the writing can be garbage, and they don't notice that. They don't notice that the writing is terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe because
they're just in there for the fantasy.
They're in there for the fantasy. They're not writers themselves, so they don't think that. I mean, I'm not saying it's like...
Soap operas are still around, and those aren't the best well-written thing, or you know, well-written or produced TV shows, but people still love watching it, right?
Oh yeah, and there's a way to do it, and some, I mean, X-Men is a soap opera, you know. I mean, it really is, and wrestling is a soap opera for men. You know, it's like, but I mean, it's the way that you do it, and it's like, I mean, some of the like the conventions that she goes off on in Twilight, or you know, it's like, fine, okay, you know, it's like, it's not for me. You know, it's not meant for
me. I give
me.
You credit for at least trying it.
I did, twice.
Did you buy the book?
I did not buy the book.
Well, there you go. See, that's at least you're not just like, man, I bought it. I guess I should finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was at the exact same point. I'm just like, and the same thing happened with the Hunger Games. I'm just like, I got to the exact same point because I tried. It's like, I didn't have the feeling of Twilight that I wanted to like it. I actually actively didn't like it, but I was reading it by somebody's recommendation. And then generally with that, I'm not the type of person that wanted to just, when now, someone recommends me a book, I'm not going to say, that was garbage, you know. Go.
Was this before the hype or after the hype?
Before the movie came out.
Oh, okay, so like you were sort of clean towards all like the hype that was happening.
I was.
So that's an honest reaction.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is I'm, and even with the hype, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, Harry Potter is just brilliant.
There's a lot of great ideas in that book.
It's not an original thing in that book.
Yeah.
It's the way that she puts it together and the way that she takes that Harry Potter is not the same person in the first book as he is in the last book. And that's what people want now. It's like, well, that's what like editors and why Harry Potter almost never got published is because they want that status quo maintained so they can write 20 books. And she's like, no.
They want the people, you know, they were saying they want like The Simpsons where it doesn't change instead of having Buffy where they change every season, so to speak.
So hype doesn't really, I don't really react to hype all that much, whether one way or the other. I mean,
if anything, it usually makes me want to stay away from it.
Yeah, sometimes it does. But if something is genuinely good, then I can, like, you know, the hype doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it should still stand on its own. I feel good about it. That's where quality comes in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why I feel bad about the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in the movie. I wanted to assault that movie.
I think Alan Moore actually did.
Yeah, or a fox assaulted him, and then he firebombed it.
Yeah, and I think that was like one of the last movies that Sean Connery did, wasn't it?
That was the one he retired on. He was like,
I'm quitting after movies. That.
Yeah. I'm like, seriously, yes.
He was this medium.
That was a good idea.
And you can tell at the end they're supposed to be like a sequel. Like they're trying to push it off, and I'm like, oh, I don't think so, guys.
And I love what Alan Moore has done with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Specifically now, yeah.
He has made it absolutely unfilmable.
And that's actually like when since I write for both comics and movies, like I feel like I want to make it for the medium. So when I write comics, I'm like, I really want to work this medium as hard as possible as opposed to just, I want to make this into a movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alan Moore is just like, no, you're never going to be able to make this into a movie.
No, and you're not ever going to get it past the MPAA.
Exactly. You know? There's just like, so much copyright that he has to go through too. There's all these characters.
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much the flavor of what he does now. I mean, it's like, you look at that and Lost Girls and like the Neonomicon and stuff.
Oh,
like
Neonomicon
that.
Is like, that's another world of just like, this is not going to get made into a movie.
I'm like, man, this is like gloom epitomized in a book. And it's like, I read an interview with him when he was writing that, and he says, I wasn't in a good place when I wrote that book. And I was like, I can tell.
Yeah, I can tell you just wanted to destroy.
You kind of had a chip on your shoulder at that point, one bigger than you normally have.
I am reading Fashion Beast. Which is distributed by Avatar, and it's probably the most safest Avatar book there is.
Yeah,
because there's nothing really demented. Or I mean, there's a bit of hauntingness about it, but it's not like there's not people getting raped or killed or there's not even like there's nudity in it, but it's just not like scary nudity.
Yeah, not like the crossed kind of.
Not cross nudity.
Yeah.
And I read Cross mainly for the David Lapham Crossed run, which because it's different.
I read the online one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Wish You Were Here, I think it was called. That was pretty wild.
It's all wild.
I'm like, seriously, that dude is, what's he doing to that dolphin?
What
are they doing to each other?
I haven't read it.
I am not making this up.
You can just show images.
I don't even know what's going on.
And you know that book is optioned for a movie.
I know
it is. I'm just like, wow. I think they just optioned it. Like, I look at it, and I'm like, someone was like, we need to option that so no one can even attempt to make it.
Yeah.
Because, like, we got to save the world because there's no way. Don't even let anyone in the wrong hands.
It's like, no one needs to see this.
Yes. Put the option in a vault, and we'll let it ride, and we'll renew it. Just keep on paying them money not to make this happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I think ever since the hype on Preacher, Garth Ennis's formula is just to try to out-preacher Preacher.
Out-preacher Preacher, yeah.
And I'm not really a fan of that. Like, that concept of just total, like, shock value stuff. But, I mean...
That's one end of the spectrum.
If there's a story to it, I mean, it's like, I mean, I agree that there should be the spectrum. I don't have to be a fan of the whole thing. I don't think that it, like, shouldn't be there, because I know that that Comic Sex, Joe Casey, he actually ran a letter in the first issue from somebody that said they were a fan.
Yeah.
But ever since they saw the release of this and all the interviews, like, this comic does not need to be made, and I'm selling all of your stuff, and I'm deeply offended by the concept of this book. And Joe Casey read, he's like, you actually have a pretty good point there.
Well, that's why I love comics. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show this week, man.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Tell the people where they can watch you and find you and listen to you.
You can
peer into your window at night.
Yeah, well, that's where you can watch me. slabbedpodcast.com. That's where Slab generally is. And we're on Stitcher and iTunes and all that stuff. So just look it up.
Cool.
And I also, my own site is The Glass Eye Studio. And that's the pronoun I, not EYE. And that's my comics, well, cartoons, so.
Nice. And definitely we can see you at Phantom Comics on Free Comic Book Day.
Yep. Looking forward to be there.
Well, thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. This show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. Also check out my own work at GoAstray.tumblr.com. Carolyn, where can we see you?
You can see my comic strip Curls every Monday and Thursday at www.curls-studio.com.
Matt, it was a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be.
Going back to reading my graphic novels after the
graphic
show.
The graphic novel.
In my bubble bath.
That's right.
My luxurious bubble bath with the fireplace on in the background.
A bottle of champagne.
Well, everybody, hope you had a good time. I will catch you later. Send them home, Carolyn.
Adios.